by singing number 199, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Number 199, his name shall evermore abide, in him shall all the world be blessed, by all the nations far and wide, his praise shall ever be confessed. Number 199, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Holy Word, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, and we commence with verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? and they give him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that he might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord give us together what we not have of ourselves, an humble heart and a broken spirit, that we bow before thee, the Most High God, also in this evening of this very day where it has pleased us, in the way of thy providence and in thy long suffering, to bring us together again in this house of worship, to place ourselves under thy word and testimony. So far thy hand has spared and protected and upholded each and every one in his labors and in his work, as we also were privileged to protect it on our way with one of our elders to that meeting yesterday. And there are abundantly reasons that we acknowledge thy name, because other ones taken away by the hand of death, some also out of our congregation, accidents, and other ones taken up in the hospital. What made the difference in our life than only the mercies of the Lord, that we are not consumed? Humble us in the dust before thee, the Most High God, and give us that privilege in this evening that our hearts were made receptive for the word that shall come unto us. It is thine own work, from the beginning to the end, and it is all waiting upon thee. But thou hast also said in thy holy word, open wide thy mouth, and I will satisfy them. And I will be inquired of the house of Israel of all these things that we receive in our heart by the Holy Spirit, that freedom and that liberty, with all our emptiness and with all our ignorance, with everything, that we come unto thee, driven out of ourselves to that fountain of life, and that we in this evening receive for the first time, or by renewing, something out of Christ for our own heart. It is all coming only from him who has merited everything, but also is sitting at the right hand of his Father to apply it to his dear children and all those that are involved in it. There are still souls laying under the seal of election. Oh, that it came out and in public, that thou art still working in the hearts of mankind to bring them to that right place, to acknowledge the sins, but also the justice and the righteousness of God, and out of the depths of their heart to cry for that mercy revealed in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son. Lord, strengthen also us in this evening to speak in the midst of the congregation some edifying words. Help us and strengthen us with all thy servants where they are, increasing the number and sending forth laborers in thy harvest. The sick and afflicted, the mother who was operated, strengthen her in their weakness. Remember another one of our congregation, one of our members, who was brought into the hospital in this afternoon with all those that are laying, and thou knowest the needs and the wants of each and every one. Supply it out of thy fullness, and that all the trials, also those that are in their homes and in the places where they take care for them on account, that it become impossibility for the dear ones, we commend them at thy throne. Remember them in mercy and in compassion, Lord. And above all, give us an opening for the soul, for that great and ever-ending eternity those who were gladdened by thy almighty deeds and actions, also in this afternoon, given a heart to acknowledge thee and declare with David what shall I render the Lord for all his blessing bestowed upon us, that father and that boy who was in accident yesterday. Thy hand had grace, he spared them too, that it be a wonder for them together, and that it may please thee to supply all the needs and all the wants in the midst of the congregation. Thou knowest all the burdens, and thou knowest all the trials. Thou knowest all the circumstances. Look upon us in mercy, and that we look upon thee. Thou art the only one who can gladden our heart, and who can give us grace to bow under thy word and testimony, which is sure forever and forever, that sinners be converted, that thy people be edified in their most holy faith, and that we together receive an undeserved but so necessarily blessing for our heart, that our gathering was not a burden unto us, but that it was to the rejoicing of our heart, that Christ be glorified in our soul, and that thy children receive a rich measure of thy grace and of thy spirit in their heart, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 232. Number 232. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints but let him seek no more and follow his path to stray. Number 232. Thank you. beloved congregation, all that is written in the Word of God, it is, as Paul said in Romans 15, to our instruction and also to our comfort. And indeed, it is a wonderful blessing from the Most High God when we in our life are privileged that the Lord made us by His Spirit receptive for His Word and for all the instructions that He has given in His Holy Word. This evening, with the help of the Lord, I will say something about the fifth appearance of Christ on the day of His resurrection. I read to you verse 44 and 5, the third part. And He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding. This far. The fifth appearance of Christ on the first day of His resurrection. That appearance in the first place was full of divine majesty. In the second place was a proof that Christ never forget His people. And further, it was to confirm His resurrection, and finally, the fulfillment of the Scriptures. That are the few thoughts of which I will say something to you this evening. The first day of Christ's resurrection, congregation, that was really a wonderful day. When Christ was here on earth and living for 33 years, then the seal of God's house has eaten Him. And that was even while He was hanging on the cross. We have heard that several times when we consider with you the suffering of Christ, that He always trusted His Father, but also always thinking about his people. In other words, it came out till the last moment he forgot himself. So different as that it is with us in our life. We have to censor ourselves time and again that we are thinking so much about ourselves, and that we so many times are concerned about ourselves. But that was with Christ so different. And he had showed also after his resurrection that he was that compassionate high priest. Having compassion with all the weaknesses, but also with all the infirmities of his church. There was in those women and in those apostles, there was nothing why that the Lord would come back to them. Why that the Lord would visit them. The reason, the only reason that is eternal love and his faithfulness that he revealed towards his dear children. And really, also in the last hour of that first day, in that fifth appearance of Christ, then he showed there his divine majesty. He broke the bands in the heart of those women. He gladdened their hearts. He did it with Peter. He did it with the two men of Emmaus. And now he was ready to do it also to his disciples, who were together in a certain room in Jerusalem, but sitting after doors who were closed on account of the fear of the Jews. A clear proof that the faith of that people that was not so strong at that time. There was something indeed, but there was more fear in their heart than that there was an exercising of faith in the soul. But now Christ, he showed his divine majesty also in this, that he revealed himself to his disciples, that he came and was standing in the midst of them after that they had shut the doors. We read that twice in John 20. The first day of Christ's resurrection, they have done it. 8 days later, and then the doors were again shut. He would say, all fear that must well be taken away, but it come always out in our life, people, that we are men. That we have nothing of ourselves. That we are looking more to ourselves than to that blessed King who is at the right hand of his Father. But Christ, he came to his disciples. You read not that he came through the door, no. But well said the word of God that he stood in the midst of them. And that was of course a clear proof of his divine majesty. But no man in the world ever can do, the Lord is able to do it, because he is the eternal Son of God. In the first place as God, then he had an unlimited power, and as mediator, then he had a received power. And there is nothing too wonderful for him. He stood in the midst of them, said the Bible. And when I emphasize the word stood in this evening, then that refers to him in his majesty and in his glory. It was a time for him that he was sinking in that mire of our sins. There was a time that he was sinking in the waters, in the great waters, that all the waves of God's wrath goes over him. There was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane that he lay with his face on the ground, bowing under the justice of God. And there was a time that he had no ground to stand on in this world, while he was hanging on the cross of Calvary. Here he stood in the midst of them. He stood there, showing to his disciples that the Father in principle already had glorified him, and that he would stand forever and forever. In Revelation 14, the first verse, there you read that Christ was standing on the Mount of Zion, and with him the 144,000 who were sealed on the forehead. There was no devil that ever could bring him on the ground. No. He stood there, showing his majesty and his glory. Christ of God's congregation, he was standing behind the conflict, and he was standing above the conflict. And that this for God shared such a comfort, and that is written in the Word of God to the encouragement of all that people that can many times not stand on their feet, that have so many burdens, that they lay down there, and that they say, Lord, shall I ever stand on my feet? But Christ, he stood there in the midst of his disciples. And another thing, all the disciples, they were round about him. There was no difference. They were not the sons of Zebedee who were standing at his right and left hand. There was not a Peter that had the first place there. No. The Lord, he said in his word, that he stood in the midst of them. Why? Oh, he loved all his people with an eternal love. And in that respect, there is no difference. As it is in married life with the children, then it comes to the point, then we love them all together as our own flesh and as our own blood. And it was really for Christ a joy to stand there in the midst of his disciples. And not only to stand there, but to say unto them, peace be unto you. It had cost the life of Christ to merit that peace. Because by virtue of our sins, there was no peace here on earth. And we never can give ourselves any peace in our heart that is not in our hands, congregation. But now Christ, he had merited that peace. And not only that he had merited peace, but that he is coming to his people to apply that peace to their hearts. We can say much to one another in our life, and there are moments in our life that we can say there is now nothingness in between this moment. In these moments, I wish the best to friends and to enemies. God's people that shall have moments that they have not one enemy in the world. Not wrong. And it is that time when the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, when that is in the heart. And it is really a blessing, congregation, if that becomes reality. Most of the time when we sit full of ourselves, we have to experience that. And we have to confess that. That we go over this world as so wretched in ourselves that we think, Lord, shall there be well one person in the world so as I am? that we have nothing else than to condemn ourselves. But for God's people, there are different moments. There are moments that they can bow. There are moments that they, with friends and enemies, the best things. That there is even in the heart and prayer. It is all from the Lord, of course, but it is a blessing when it is his level, when there are no mountains and when there are no depths. And that really, that the divine majesty of Christ, he was full of that majesty also after his resurrection, and that he now revealed that is in our hearts. That he really is our King. That we bow under his dominion, under his jurisdiction. But still we realize that we have no power to give anything to one another. We have to confess time and again that our hands are empty, but that is not with Christ, no. His hands, and in his hands, we have the prints of the nails. His hands are full with spiritual and heavenly blessings in heaven. Therefore Christ, he said to his disciples, peace be unto you. You would expect something different. Really. If you think how that attitude was in the last days, then you would say, oh, it was no wonder if Christ had said to his disciples, now, once I will not visit you, but to bid farewell to you. I am so disappointed with you, because you have promised me so much to stand with me, to fight for me, even to give your life for me, and now you have run away from me, run away. When Christ was buried and there were some women far away looking what took place, and the only one of the disciples that was young, he said, what we have seen, we are witnesses also of his death. But otherwise, what was now left? There is enough nothing left, people. Oh no. We become so empty in ourselves, people, that we have to shake our heads upon ourselves. That is what we find out in our lives. But now that Christ, he said, peace be unto you. It must well be as music in their ears that he say that. And that voice, that he heard that voice, what they have heard for 3 years, learn of me that I am meek and lowly of heart. Peace be unto you. I am in the first day of my resurrection, after the resurrection. I am ready now to give in your heart that peace that I have merited. You would say, Now all those disciples, they must well be astonished. They must well nothing else than wondering that they heard that word from the mouth of Christ, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid. And suppose that they had seen spirit. Can you now follow that? Can you now understand this? Terrified and afraid. And then in the same time that Christ was standing in the midst, what a terrible thing, people. Instead of joy and of gladness in their heart, terrified and afraid. And suppose that they had seen the spirit. Mark also, in Mark 6, when they were on that sea, in that boat, where there was such a storm, and then Christ came walking to them to help them, and to deliver them, and then they were all afraid because they thought it was a spirit. People that had no knowledge of self, or that really, that would place those apostles outside, and they would say no. They could not be converted people, no. If you are converted, then you must immediately see everything, observe everything, believe everything, and joyful with everything. But here we have converted people. Real converted people. And they terrified and afraid. And afraid that it was a spirit that was standing there in the midst. Full of doubt. And full of unbelief. And then after that they were for 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they have heard so much of him. And are still in such a condition for themselves. You would say unbelievable. But I tell you something, people. I tell you. And it is this. That if we are strangers of spiritual life, and we have no experimental knowledge, then we cannot understand anything what we are reading in the Word of God. No. Thus, in other words, we have to go through to that for ourselves. Can we shake hands with those people? Ignorant that we are in ourselves, and how dependent that we are of the Lord in everything. Be never jealous to people that help himself with religion and with their experiences.
But you can well be jealous to that people that have to wait till the Lord himself comes. And of course, congregation, what I have to emphasize in these weeks now, time and again speaking, about the resurrection of Christ, that you always have to observe that it is a personal matter between the Lord and our soul. And there can well be moments in our life, be moments, that there is a certain joy in our heart when we hear God's people talking over the ways of the Lord, but still that the problems came not to a solution for our own heart. And what is then the result, people? We can, in extase, as they say, we can have moments in our life, really, that we forget ourselves. Moments in our life that the devil can do nothing. Moments in our life that the world and that sin and that everything lay under. Those moments. And that we rejoice in what we hear, but we come back in ourselves time and again. Back in ourselves. And then we are affrighted and terrified. And then we have no light whether that it is Christ that speaks there to us or that it is a spirit. We cannot distinguish for ourselves Christ from a spirit. You know, congregation, that is language that in our days you almost do not hear that more. No. Where shall you hear it? And why not? Because there is no knowledge of it in general. Only God's people that know something. But a nominal Christendom, they understand nothing about it. And I have always heard that some people say, if I must be converted, as that kind of people is converted, then I hope that I never be converted. Really? So they talk sometimes. Because they think that this is a terrible life. We have a much easier life with our religion. We are always in the air, and we are always happy, and we are always believing. That minister that we have that say all the time, you have to believe. You have to think. And we are doing that. And now we are so happy. But I have to say to you, it is necessary to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to say also to you that faith that is and that remains a gift of the Lord and the Holy Spirit have to work it all the time in our heart, and even the exercising of it, that is also the work of the Spirit in our heart. In the fifth appearance of Christ on the day of his resurrection, Christ, he proved that he knows his people. and that he knows all the weaknesses and all the infirmities, that Christ was involved with those things while he was here on earth. We have a text in the Word of God, and that said so clear that Christ was involved as the Son of Man with all our infirmities. And those assaults came also to Christ, but of course they could not touch his heart, on account that he was the Son of God. But as that compassionate high priest, then he bare with our weakness and with our infirmities. In the realm of nature, people, with whom can we talk the best in our life, you think? With whom? With whom is it the easiest to talk? To people that understand you. That understand you. That, humanly speaking, even when we mentioned two words, and immediately, then there is a unity. Sometimes I can give you a very simple illustration, an example. It can be in our life that we have to wait in some place, that we have some book with us, and that we think, now yeah, because to bring through the time, I look a while in that book. And sometimes you heard and hear the touch your heart already. That even in one moment, people, that even in one moment, the tears burst out of our eyes. Read. A wonderful thing. Last week I take up an old paper. I found that in among some other papers. And I looked for one moment, and then there were a few lines written by one of our deceased ministers over a minister who had died years before already, and with whom that I have lived when I was a boy. And the manner in which that minister wrote about that minister, only a few lines, but that touched my heart so much that I thought, I am glad to read that there, really. Maybe I have read it before, but then it was not years ago. But I thought, oh, that unity, I believe the communion of faith. And it were three words. Only three words. If the Lord God used it. But of course we realize in our life, my dear people, that the Lord have to do it. That the Lord have to do it. I can do nothing. I'm not able to do it. No. But now Christ, he knows his children. He knows their weaknesses. He knows also their strife congregation. Their strife in what manner? Oh, if you ask God's people, one as well as the other, whether they desire to believe, then they say yes. If it was given unto me, I will believe that the Lord is my God, that he is my King, that he is my all and in all, for time and for eternity. But I have to wait till the Lord that gives to me. I cannot pick it up of myself. No. Therefore, to the hills I lift my eyes. From whence is come my help. And it is the only thing in life and death that is left for God's children. My help is from the Lord. And how Christ, he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Why not? You can't recognize my voice. I am not a stranger to you. I am so lovely to you. I say not one hard word to you. If I did, then you must say, yeah, we deserve it. Then you must say, I have deserved it. When I look back to what my life that lay behind me. But still, oh, even what the Lord said there, it did not penetrate their hearts, people. It was a mess in their hearts, a mess. There was so much wrong in their hearts. And therefore he said, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Why? You must know what I have spoken to you 3 years ago already. And even the last day of that I was with you. That I have to suffer and that I have to die. And on the third day to arise out of the grave. Why? Oh, yeah, people. If you belong to that people. If you belong to that blessed people. Belong to that chosen people. Belong, I shall not use another word. If you belong to the jewels of the Lord. Because all his children are jewels. Jewels. Then you shall know what there goes on in our hearts. And when it comes to the question, do they desire that? No. And at then no. We desire to live to the honor of the Lord. It is our desire to believe in him. It is our desire not to grieve him, but to please him, to glorify him. But Jehoshaphat, he said, in us there is no strength. There is no strength. And again, my dear friends, again, the Lord had to speak personally to our heart and to our soul. And now that Christ, where he knows the weakness of his people, he said, behold, my hands and my feet. Christ showed the print of the nails in his hands. Christ, he lifted up his feet that they could see also the prints of the nails who were in his feet. Oh, what a condescending mercy. As a father pities his children. So the Lord pities his children. Handle me. Handle me. And see, I will lay open for you that wound that I have here in my side. I will not lower cover it for you. If it can help you, I will do everything to take all the mountains away, heart and soul. Christ was not obliged to do it, no. But knowing the weakness of his children, he was willing to do everything for them. And then he will persuade them, he said, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And then he showed them his hands and his feet. Yes, and then they followed something, and while they yet believed, not for joy and wonder. There's something, joy and wonder. What means that? That means this congregation, it became too big, too great for them to believe. There they have known themselves as worms of the dust. Oh, they came to themselves. And then they could not believe. Oh, they were still here, and voice in their heart that they say, no, no. The voice of the devil, my people. And then you can see how that child of God is fed in his life by days and by night. Fed. And what a share of arrows that are pierced in the soul time and again. And what a strife that there is, people. What a strife that there is in the heart of God's children. Time and again. Yet believe not for joy and wonder. They could not believe there that Christ was risen for them. That is the meaning. And you see, that is never, never a portion of the world. And that is a grace never given to nominal Christians. But that is given to God's people. That comes in down worthiness before the Lord, in our word. Oh, let I say it in this manner, that you maybe can follow it better this evening. that people that cannot believe that it is for him, that it is for them. They say years ago in the Holland home woman, that for years before the throne, she said to one that visited her, "Boy, if it never become a wonder to you, then the Lord had never done a wonder." And that there it is, congregation. If it never becomes a wonder. And if the Lord is on his way to reveal himself, oh, then that soul that said, "Lord, that cannot be for me. That cannot be for me." You read in the Word of God when Boaz came and up to that field where Ruth was. He spoke to her. He spoke to her. But could she believe that that man that talked to her? Oh no, still with her head down, still thinking up some what was left there on the field. He had to say the second time something to her. Second time. Yeah. Oh, could we give it to one another this evening? Could we just give to one another? We would with happiness lead the church this evening. Sinking in our unworthiness before the Lord. Yeah. And that we will say, "Oh Lord, no, it is too great for me. It is too great. I cannot believe it." But when he talked the second time, then she lifted up her head. And then she said, "From when is it that you know me? While I am a stranger." Oh, people, that are the evidence of the true life of a child of God. That are the evidence. And that is what the Lord works in the hearts of the people. And people still, after that Christ had shown his hands and feet, they still could not believe it. They still could not believe it. And then he said, "Have ye here any meat? Have ye here any meat?" Oh, what impatience, what impatience that Christ had with his disciples and with that poor people. "Have you some meat?" And then they give him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. They give him something. And he took it and did eat before them. Christ after his resurrection, he need not anything to eat or to drink, no. His body that was glorified. But to help the iniquity, the infirmities and the weaknesses of his people, he took that piece of broiled fish and of that honeycomb, and then he ate. To persuade him that he was the same who suffered and died, and that he now was risen from the grave, after that he had satisfied the justice of God. But then, oh, them still, it was still dark for those disciples.
Yeah.
It was still a riddle after all of this. This congregation, it is not so easy as that most of the people say and think. It is not so easy,
no.
No. And then he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Christ, he speaks about Moses. He speaks about the prophets. And he speaks about the Psalms. By the Emmaus hungers, then he stopped by the men of Emmaus. Oh, then he starts from Moses and the prophets. But now here he had not the Psalms of Moses. Right. Right. As evidences that those Psalms also were filled with the promises of Christ. Two, Psalm 2. Psalm 14. Psalm 16. Psalm 21, Psalm 22, Psalm 42, 45, the Psalms are full of Christ. And now they have read Moses, and they have read the prophets, and they have read also the Psalms. But no light over it, any of it. See? No light over it and in it. But then the text said, then opened he the understanding that they might understand Scripture. That was now the last thing. He opened their understanding. He took the darkness away. And he placed them in that light of the gospel. Then he opened their understanding. Then they receive light over all that the Christ had spoken himself, but also over all that was revealed of him from the beginning in the Old Testament, in Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Then it became an open book unto gate. An open book. Then he opened to understand. The disciples needed that. We needed that too in our life. A minister cannot preach without that. No. No. Because when he not opened our understanding, then it are all words, and not only word people, but then we come not to the depths. Then we come not to the depths. And that is so necessary to bring debtors out. See? Our fathers, they say years ago, the truth is behind the truth. Behind the truth. And that is the living ministration of the Word of God. Then opened he their understanding. Then the scales fell from their eyes. And was as if they were in another world. In an other world. Then they saw the glory. They saw the majesty of Christ. And then they were instructed in two things. The time is almost gone. I have to stop for this evening. But they were instructed in two things there. And you know what the first thing was? That was all that came upon that Christ. And what was revealed in Moses by Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that was in God's eternal counsel. That was in God's heart from all eternity. That's the first thing, people. That is the first thing. The foreknowledge of God and that counsel. I shall declare the decree, said in Psalm 2. And come, and people, that is the foundation. That is the foundation. And then in the second place, the salvation, the deliverance, the reconciliation, and the restoration into communion and fellowship with the Most High God. There are only a few words, but I hope that the Lord may bless it for our poor soul as travels to eternity. And I hope that what you have heard in this evening, young and old, great and small, that it has persuaded you in your heart and conscience to realize that we can help never ourselves, and that other people in the world never can deliver us, but that it is only that risen Christ that we need him in life and in death, meriting salvation and applying salvation. And now we are still in the land of living people. Law and gospel that is still preached amongst us. The way of salvation is laid open for us. That the Lord make us jealous. Really jealous in our heart to that doctrine what is preached from this place. And without that, people, then we are lost. If it never becomes reality for our atom, we have to know the way, as that the Lord had revealed it also towards his disciples and apostles. And now the Lord, and that is such a great blessing, that we with our mouth and with our tongue, that we can say, Lord, Lord, make it as real to me. Make it as reality to me. Give it in my heart. I cannot bring it there. But please, please bring it there. And that God's people are not to be discouraged so much. We are so much, this many times discouraged. Oh, so many times. But what you have heard in this evening, I hope that it has so much effect to your soul, not to defend and to strive for unbelief. No, but that is a great sin. But to realize, people, that the Lord has to deliver us from it. And that he had need us to give faith, but also the exercising of faith to lean upon an humiliating Christ and an exalted Christ. And that he become our only hope and our only foundation. And then we have enough people for time and for eternity. Amen. Lord, that I press his word applied to our heart. Thou art the only one who art mighty and almighty to do it. Let the preaching of this evening be not in vain for us, but let it be a blessing for our heart and an encouragement for our soul and to the conversion of poor sinners. That thy kingdom come over the world, in the world, in our families, in our hearts, and that it be as established from child to child and from generation to generation for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 108. A new and joyful song of praise. My thankful heart he taught, a song of glory to our God for all that he has wrought. 108, the first stanza. Mrs. Marinus Staal was operated. And Mr. Roy Ripma was brought in Blaget Hospital this afternoon. And that old Mrs. Bashoven that was brought yesterday to the Christian Rest Home on Edison. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.